The enemy has been defeated. We were at we were part of an outdoor outreach service in Colport, 53. And we were in the local park there. It's kind of, if you know, Colport kind of sits, the middle of the town kind of sits in a bowl. And we were down in the middle of that, there's a park, and the worship team was leading and we were singing, and at that time the ending words, the terminology, the song that we were singing, all the music stopped, and it was the last proclamation was just the voices. And as we proclaimed that in a loud way, I can still remember the hills. I want to say they were echoing, but I think they were joining. And it just lit up the valley. And what a proclamation. The enemy has been defeated. And who is God? We proclaim that. But who are we? In Him, who are we? The enemy is then defeated. We sang about that. He is defeated. God is the way maker. God is ready to make the way for you. I want to bring a word from, obviously, from the Word of God this morning. And I'm not even terribly good at English, okay? So, it was some you had to really, and even in college, I was like, I'm going to really make sure I befriend the college, the English professor and the literature professors, because sometimes they'll have a little edge if you're nice, you know? And so if you can start right off, sit in the front row, you're a teacher's pet. You're absolutely right. I am. I am, especially when it comes to English or if it comes to literature, I'm not terribly strong in those things. I tend to use winda for a window. You know, I tend to say ain't. I find myself redneck 101. I find myself in that. So when I step into some Latin or some Greek or some Hebrew, I literally have even no idea how to say it most of the time. Or even if you listen to it online and say, this is the way you should say it. And I'm like, I think my problem is my ears don't work. My tongue doesn't work and my ears don't work. But there is a phrase in the Latin that says, sitienta est potentia. Do you know what that means? That means power, or knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge, the general awareness or the possession of information, facts, truth, and thoughts. That's the definition. That's not my definition of knowledge, but it's the possession, the awareness, or the possession of facts or information. It's you own those. You have those. You have a supply or an arsenal, if you will, of facts. You have an arsenal of information. And in the Latin phrase, it means knowledge is power. I don't disagree with that at all, but I often question, what is the power a positive power, or is the power a negative power? And maybe it's not either. It's just simply proclaiming that knowledge is power. So be careful with the knowledge. If we throw knowledge around like it has little effect, if we throw facts around like it has little effect on people around us. We get $2 worth of knowledge and we think we own it all. We're horribly arrogant and we own some information, and watch out, I am ready to deliver that information, deliver that fact at any time that I get a chance. Because knowledge is power. We get a handful of facts and we throw them like hand grenades into a crowd. And sometimes I wonder what we're trying to do with that. What are we trying to do with the facts that we just throw into a crowd? We just have a handful of facts and it really doesn't matter. Just shoot it into the crowd. It doesn't matter if you hit a kid or not. It doesn't matter. Just knowledge is power. Just shoot your facts around the room. You got possession of those facts. See, here's a fact. Anybody want one of my facts? Tough. If you don't, I'm going to give it to you anyway. And we end up throwing our facts around like they're some kind of non-lethal weapon. The reality is, facts have power. Don't forget that. I got a whole bucket. I got facts, I got facts, I got facts. And the new phrase or the coined phrase around our country anymore is, we're going to fact check you. Well, fact check that. About that gets it to Tobin. See, I practice. You want some of my facts? Okay, you don't think somebody's going to fact check you? Don't think your facts have power, your knowledge has power? I got some Facebook posts for you to say, I heard this in church. Here goes. Number one, Biden-Harris leadership is amazing. Post that. I dare you post that. If you don't think somebody's going to throw some facts at you, there's going to be facts. You're going to be busy all day. It should be President Trump, not former President Trump. Just post that. I dare you to post that. Just see how many facts you get. I'm telling you what, they won't care who you are. They won't care if your kids read it or not. People will throw their facts around, like, and they're working to dislodge you. How about Congresswoman AOC? Congresswoman AOC has a great understanding of a healthy future of this country. Governor Wolf cares immensely for the people of Pennsylvania. Next page. I got a bunch of them. Climate change is a joke. I heard this in church today. Yeah, put that on Facebook. I heard this in church today. You know what the first question is going to be? It's this. Where do you go to church? It just is. This country is steeped in racism. BLM is a good and needed charity. Do you know that BLM is a nonprofit? Minimum wage should be $15 an hour. I'm telling you, you know what you're going to get first? Fact one, then get rid of your $3 work ethic. Facts are knowledge. Knowledge is power. Facts are power. We throw them around like we own them all. How about gun control is a good idea? How about this? We'll move a little closer to everyone should get vaccinated. How about the pastor should shut up about his political thoughts? I'm telling you what, if you post that, somebody's going to post, you know about separation of church and state. Fact. Listen, when you throw a fact out there, when you throw some knowledge out there, it doesn't matter who hits, just throw it. How about all Christians should abstain from alcohol? How about this? How about this? If you read from any other translation of the Bible other than the King James, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Just so you know, that's a quote. That's not from my, but that's a quote. How many facts do you want? I got more. Just shoot your facts around because knowledge is power and knowledge is facts and knowledge is information. For crying out loud, it doesn't matter. Just shoot it out there. Just get some facts and try to dislodge your enemy. Just try to dislodge the other person on Facebook. Just try to dislodge the other person at Walmart. Just get all you got to do is just throw enough facts where you get them teetering and then they'll fall over and get the heck out of your way. Because facts are power. Knowledge is power. We lab facts and information into like some kind of king of the mountain competition. Do you ever play King of the Mountain as a kid? Any stack of anything, any pile of dirt, instantly, I'm telling you, as a boy, you get another two or three boys, instantly, that pile of dirt is becoming King of the Mountain. And your goal is to get the dude off the top, no matter what you have to do. You just lob enough stuff on him, you run, you bull rush him, you partner with anyone else you need to get him off the top. And once you're on the top, everyone else is an enemy. And we throw these facts around our country. We throw these facts around our churches. We throw information, we throw knowledge around like it's not lethal. And what we're trying to do is dislodge somebody from the King of the Mountain position. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says this. Now about food sacrificed to idols. Woo! That is a hot topic in the church of Corinth. That is a hot topic. He said, now I'm going to talk to you about the hot topic among you. And look what he says. We know that all possess knowledge. You know what he's saying there? We all have facts. We know that you all have facts. We're talking about something in the church here. We're talking about food offered to idols. We're talking about that. And you know, we know that we all possess knowledge. You can lob as many facts as you want to into that argument. It's not about how many facts you can throw into the argument. What are you trying to do, Paul said? Get somebody off the King of the Mountain position? What are you trying to do? Defeat your brothers and sisters that are sitting and worshiping with you? What are you trying to do? We know that everybody has knowledge. Everybody has facts. Everybody has information. But look what he says in the next statement. Back up, please. Knowledge puffs up. But love builds up. He said, I know you have knowledge. I know you have information. I know you have facts. And I know it's powerful. And you got to know that knowledge will puff you up. Knowledge leads to, when that's in charge, it puffs us up. It puffs up our mind. Facts will fill our mind with wind. You will be stricken with a fatal windy head disease. I told you I didn't know Greek very well, but I think that's what it's saying. Just so you know, you all have wind between your ears. And you let that lead the way. You let your facts and your information lead the way. You're going to get puffed up. You're going to have a mind that is stricken with windy head disease. You're going to get a fat head. You're going to get a big head. You're going to walk into a room and no one else has room because you're in that room and you got the most facts. And for crying out loud, just throw them in. Because it's about defeating them, even if they're worshiping you on Sunday. And you'll get words and actions like this if you got a windy head disease, just so you can diagnose yourself. You'll start using words like idiot, stupid, he's just ignorant. Why? Because you think your fact is better than their fact. Because what you lobbed in was bigger than what they lobbed in. And so how all of a sudden they become an idiot, or they become ignorant, or they become stupid. And then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself, when you're led by knowledge, you're going to find yourself kind of separating from the crowd. And you're going to find yourself avoiding people. You're going to start finding yourself avoidance will be a part of your lifestyle. And big-headed people will even get to the point where they will wish the worst on someone. Can you imagine children of God getting to the point where they wish the worst on someone? He said, you continue to fill your brain with just information and facts, and you will get to that point. My light, my church, my people, the people that I redeemed, the people that I love, the people that I have commissioned, the people that I have empowered, the people that I have made the temple of the Most High God, the people that I sealed with the Holy Spirit, the people that one day when the trumpet blows, I will call them all home, the people that are going to spend all of eternity with me are wishing the worst on people when their heads are full of just windy knowledge. For crying out loud, we need to repent. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love, agape, you know what that means? To value greatly, to value greatly, or to hold in high regard. Love causes our hearts to be filled with people of value. You see, I don't think we're, unless you're asleep, you don't see any difference. But if my mind and my brain and my soul and my head is full of wind, or if I'm quoting the scripture, it's not my opinion, or your heart and your soul and your life is full of, push the button please, of value for people. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? And Paul says, oh, you can have facts and you can lob them in. But if you really want to make a difference, love builds. And I want to fill your heart and your soul with this love that's going to build. I want you to be builders, not destroyers. We have a destroyer of Abdon, Apollyon. He's roaming about this earth along with his demonic influences. They are the destroyers. He doesn't need any help from you. Who are the builders? The people that are saturated with love. And I use the same word, stricken. You be stricken, you will be stricken with life-giving big heart syndrome. And if you've got more knowledge and you've got love right now, you're saying, yeah, but you're going to get taken advantage of. Yeah, that's a symptom of my knowledge taken away. And you know why I say that out loud? Because I had that thought while I was writing this message. He said, why don't you let your heart be filled with people value? Why don't you let your heart be filled with love? Why don't you let your heart be filled up with love and value for people? And let me work out the details. Because knowledge is power. But love builds. Do you want to be a builder? Do you want to be a builder? The words that you might see in someone with a big heart or the people value and say, I see you. Push the button. I see you. I hear you. And they may move toward or reach out or roll up their sleeves. Maybe more of a good Samaritan story where he moves toward. You know what's wrong with this good Samaritan? He had a big heart. You know what was wrong with the other two dudes? They were full of wind. And big-hearted people will be moved to build up others. Just so we know, enough King of the Mountain stuff from the church. Are we ready to be builders? Are we ready to be those people that are inundated with the power of God to make us builders? Look what he says in verse 2. A man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. My translation, a person who has a windy mind is living in an imaginary world and they think they have the corner on all the facts. Wake up! You've gone down the wrong rabbit hole. You think you don't know anything. And you think you've got the corner on all the facts. I'm king of the mountain. I'd rather be a builder. The preference of love to knowledge, fact-filled mind or a love-soaked heart. What do you want? You can have either. This is the drive-thru at Burger King. Order what you want. Do you want a fact-filled mind, a windy head, or do you want a love-soaked heart? Do you want to be a big-hearted person? What do you want? It's up to you. God's not going to mess with you and put you in the corner and hold you down. He's not going to twist your arm like my brother used to until I cried, Mama. He's going to give it to you. Which one do you want? What do we want? And Paul says in a few chapters from now, in chapter 12, he says this, and he ends chapter 12. I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Amen. He got all kinds of good things in chapter 12. Spiritual gifts, all kinds of powerful good things. But he said, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. And he starts off the very next sentence with this. If you speak in the tongues of men and angels, but you don't have love, I'm only a very annoying noise. My translation again. Will you chalkboard fingernail thing? Fork on Corelware thing? Do you know that God give you teeth or give you lips so you could pull your food off your fork with your lips, not your teeth? He said, you're that. If you can speak and you have all the facts and you can communicate them and you got all kinds of information and you got knowledge, but you got love, you're annoying. Is what you are. Then he goes on to say, if you have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, if you're the smartest guy in the room, which I've never been stricken with, if you're the smartest guy, if you have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if you have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing, because I've slipped into the king of the mountain demeanor, and I forgot that God wants me to be a builder of the kingdom, and all I need to do is throw enough facts around that I can dislodge my enemy, even if I worship with them on Sunday. I can't be a builder. Maybe I'm afraid that if I build them up, they'll get more facts. Am I making sense today? Chapter 3 says this, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. God's not looking for how many facts we've thrown into the crowd. He's looking for how much love we have been soaked with, so that we are transforming ourselves and others and this community into the kingdom of God honoring community. And then he goes on. Just let me go down through the list. Because he's not going to let you and me define love when love is that powerful. And now he gives us 14 different statements. Listen, it's only like a page in notes. Hang on. We could dive into each one of these, but look at the first thing that he says. He says this, love is patient. Love is patient. It doesn't mean that love is a doormat. To get that out of your brain, because that's the first thing. Oh, if I'm patient, I'm telling you what, I've been patient long enough. I tried it that way. Now I'm going to kick some tail. I'm going to throw some facts into the crowd. Woo! He said, ooh. He said, you want to be king of the mountain again? Or do you want to put on a tool belt? Because in that tool belt, I'm soaking you with patience. Patience is the ability to have mud thrown at you and not throw mud back. That's my definition of patience. Somebody can throw mud at you and you won't throw it back at them. He said, I'm going to soak you up with that because you're going to need that. Guess what? Because not everybody is going to be soaked with love. Just so you know, other people, when you're soaking it up in love, they're going to still be grabbing the facts and the information, and they're going to be flinging it at you because they're trying to dislodge you. God said you can't. This love won't let them dislodge you. You'll have the ability. You'll have the ability to get mud thrown at you and not respond. Don't you wish you had that even today? Don't you wish you had that on the last Facebook post that somebody said to you? Don't you wish that maybe you didn't send that instant message because you really didn't want to blow your testimony on the World Wide Web? He said, love is patient. You can have mud thrown at you and you won't sling it back. You're not going to be a mudslinger. Love is kind, he says. Love does not sling mud, but not only does it not sling mud, now it delivers kindness. Wow. You know what kindness is in the Bible? Useful grace. Well, I'm going to be really nice to that person and kind. I'm going to say nothing. That's not kindness, just so you know, according to this. I heard a million times, maybe that's an exaggeration, but many, many times in my life, it says this, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's not good advice. You should say, if you can't say anything nice, you need to get in the very presence of God and let Him soak you up with love so you can deliver kindness to this world. Amen. And I'll add, and shut up until it happens. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It just simply means you're not going to try to pull someone off the ladder that might be ahead of you. Someone who is getting the promotion at work. Love does not dislodge that person. See, knowledge will, facts will, information will. Because if somebody gets the promotion ahead of you, what do? Or at least to your spouse, you're talking, do you know what they did? Do you know what they did? They don't come back. It's like 5 minutes over break. They're still not back. And they get the promotion. See? Fact after fact after fact after information. What are you trying to do? Get them off the ladder. That was my promotion. See, love doesn't do that. It does not envy. It does not boast, it says in the Scripture. And I like the King James in this one. It says, love does not vaunteth itself. It does not boast. See, when you're on the other end, when you're a rung ahead of somebody on the ladder, you don't look down and say, well, man, you're a loser. If you'd only do this and this and this, maybe you could get as high as I can in this world. Maybe you can get paid as much as I can. Maybe you can have what I have if you would only do what I do. See, love doesn't do that. Love reaches down and builds. And love pulls up those around us. Information and facts dislodge. Love pulls up. Love builds. It does not boast. When you are ahead of someone, it does not rub it in their face. And it is not proud. It says in the Scripture, it is not proud. It is not inflated. The word proud there means to inflate. It gives you a windy head. Love will not give you a windy head. Pride gives you a windy head. It is not proud. Love invites others into the room. Knowledge so inflates that there's no room in the room. There's no room in the conversation. There's no room in the relationship. There's no room in the life for others. Because I got more facts than you got. Ever an argument with your spouse and all you're doing is waiting for them to shut up so you can throw some more facts at them? hypothetically. He says love doesn't do that. Love doesn't get so inflated that it won't let other people in the room. Verse 5 says love is not rude. It's not offensive. It's not disrespectful. It is respectful. It holds other in high value. It continues with, it is not self-seeking. How can you be a builder of others if you're just full of seeking for yourself? See, that's knowledge. That's unhealthy knowledge. That's arrogant knowledge. That's the person who thinks they know everything and they live in an imaginary world where they think they own all the truth. The church needs to repent. It is not easily angered. Angered, provoked, aggravated. Having a disposition that makes the environment worse. Do you ever hear the phrase, and we use it a lot up north, let me throw my hat in the room and see how that endures before I go in. That person that's in that room is easily angered. And when they're easily angered, they're not love-soaked. Because you can't be that type of individual and still love. I love you, but... Or again, you want me to give you all the information on how that happens? How am I supposed to love and not get angry when everything is so angry around me? I'm going to say this. Why don't you let God soak us up with love and let Him work out the details? Amen. See, we want the whole menu. And God says, why don't you just take the dragon burger and eat it and watch what I'll do in your life? Do you believe me that love is not easily angered? Or are you still going to stand on the fact, I don't know how that will all play out in my life. I don't know if they'll behave and this will happen. I don't know if this happens and this happens. God said, will you just eat the burger and trust me for the results? Because it's not easily angered. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrong. Forgiveness and erases. Can you imagine being in an environment where both people have a whole list? Just so you know, I've visited churches and spoke at churches. I'm telling you, this side has a list. And so does this side. And maybe we can change the song. The enemy has not been defeated in this environment. Because you're a king of the mountain mentality rather than a builder mentality. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And I have the phrase, just a simple phrase. Love will not let me say, well, they deserved it anyway. Even if that is a fact, love will feel their pain. And love will want to build them. And love will want to help them out of that environment. It won't stand on, well, they deserved it. Verse 7 says this, it always protects. Love is not afraid to confront. However, it's unwilling to make public another one's faults. Says this, and it's not on the screen, but it says this in Proverbs 17:9. It says, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but he who repeats the matter separates close friends. You know what that means? Love does not gossip or slander. And just so we know, we try to be king of the mountain person. Just let me admit it. I try to be a king of the mountain, or I am a king of the mountain person, but then all of a sudden I try to get into some phone booth. Boom! With a red cape on and come out in some tights on and with some, no, I'll be some other superhero. Some green, you know, would come out of me. All of a sudden I got this mask on and said, oh man, I'm a loving person, and down deep I'm really the one who is on the mountain. It always protects. It always trusts. And again, this, let me say, well, does that mean it's gullible? Yeah, that's what God wants you to be, for crying out loud. Just a bunch of gullible bums. There's the word I confessed on Sunday, or on Thursday. God healed my soul from that word. It's not who I am in my identity. I'm a love-soaked believer of the Most High God. I have this relationship with Jesus Christ. It always trusts. It believes the best in people. It always hopes. It sees the bright side of situations, looking for the greater good in people. It always perseveres. It is not. It is a force that will come to the top. In verse 8, just one phrase of verse 8, it says, love never fails. Your facts will fail. Love never fails. Let me finish with this. May the Lord make your love increase. In newlyweds, may the Lord make your love increase. In newlyweds a few years ago, may the Lord make your love increase. In a family that just added the newest new life, may the Lord make your love increase. May He make it increase. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Wow. What a priestly blessing. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Stand with me today. Father God, I speak that into this crowd. I speak that because I have the right to speak that. I have the privilege of speaking that because I am soaked in your grace and your mercy, because I am a redeemed child of the Most High God. Because I have the authority given to me by Jesus. Because He said all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And guess what? I'm with you to the end of the age. So in the authority and in the love and in the privilege and even the responsibility, I speak this blessing, this anointing on this crowd, on the crowd in the rooms around this room, and in the crowds at home. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for others, as mine does for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.